I'm Suzanne. Welcome to our monthly sponsorship forum. Susan is here. Cheryl is here. Please join us in the serenity prayer. God. Grant us the serenity to accept the things
I cannot
Okay, here we have a couple of topics we're going to share on, and here are a couple of guidelines. There is a requirement of 30 days of abstinence to share, expound on a topic, and having stepped up as a food sponsor, anyone can ask a question. I will ask, please, if you're asking a question, please be quick and to the point. Susan is going to be timing us for 3 minutes in our responses. And if we stray too much off the topic, I will lovingly, gently put us back on order, back into the topic at hand. Okay, having done all of that, we have a couple of topics and one. I'm not going to get this right, but we're going to talk about how to get our sponsees to sponsor, and we're going to be reading a little bit from the sponsor guidelines, and Cheryl is going to get us started off because it's a little more involved than that. Cheryl, could you please expound on our topic?
We were going to discuss the sponsor-sponsee relationship and the boundaries that we need to set when we start with someone new, and I'd like to do that right up front. Basically, I have my own sheet of what to let the newcomer know, but I took it off the sponsor guidelines book. So if you have the sponsor guidelines book, and you should if you are going to be sponsoring, or if you're sponsoring right now, it's a good idea to go through that every once in a while, even if I've been sponsoring for a long time and still do that. Basically, what I like to tell people is see how the discipline structured approach to working the 12 steps and 12 traditions we need to do is to set a time for sponsors to call. And I have to be very clear about that, that when I take the time, when I set my time for that sponsor, say it's 10 o'clock, I like to get a call at 10 o'clock, not at 10:15 or 10:12, but at 10 o'clock, and I try to do that to my sponsor, give her the dignity and the to have that call on time so that she's not sitting there waiting whether I will call or not call. It's important. Oh, I need to give her that respect. So we set up a time. We make a commitment for phone calls every day. That is the way I work my program all these years, is that I do call my sponsor every single day. It's the way my program works for me, how I stay in recovery. Then we go through the tools. The 3 meetings a week, which is very important. If you can make face-to-face meetings, otherwise it's phone bridge meetings. And then we discuss the Forever Abstinent booklet, which I still think is a very good idea to go through also once in a while, every week or every couple of weeks. Newcomers should go through it every single day for the first couple of weeks. And then I still like to go back to it myself. There's a lot of good stuff in there besides just the list of foods. And then ask the newcomer to weigh themselves the first morning of that day one, and then stay off the scale for 30 days. And if the sponsee is not available, she knows she will not be available the next morning, please let me know, or text me if you find out real late. But just so that I'm not sitting there waiting for that phone call and not doing something that I need to do because I'm waiting. So I know that I get that 15 minutes from my sponsor, and I need to give that in return to my sponsees, but I don't want it to be abused. These are the boundaries. And again, if I'm out of town or I'm not available, I try to let my sponsees know that I will not be available. They can text their food. I want to elaborate on that. My life is my life. Program is a very important part of my life, but I have to separate the two. So when I'm sponsoring someone, I love doing it. I love hearing their writing. I love hearing whatever it is that they have to tell me. They've got their 15 minutes, but there's a boundary there. I don't want any personal questions. If I wasn't available one day and then my sponsor, well, where were you? What happened? I was worried for you. That does not come into play my way of doing service and sponsoring. You know, I'll let you know that something came up, or I'll let you know that I'm not there, or I'll give you a way to reach me. Mostly it's texting. But don't ask me about my life. That's my life. I don't include that in my sponsoring or in my program. You know, when I want to speak to someone about my personal situation, I call my sponsor or I call make an outreach call, but I do not discuss that with my sponsor. I like to have that distance. Otherwise, it gets too messy for me. I also don't like to sponsor friends because that gets to be uncomfortable, too. So that's the way I work. There are some sponsors that might want to get a little more personal, but I do not like that. So there are different ways to do it. This is the way I do it. I feel it works the best for me this way. Regarding slips and some people, the sponsor guideline does tell us that we can let someone go if they slip three times. It doesn't mean that I have to. And me, for a rule, I do not do that. I like to give people a chance. I know because I've slipped a lot in my life. I've had relapses, and I know how hard it is to get back. So I will give people a break, and I will try to help them go forward and just plug on, you know, trudge on, keep on trudging on. So it also says that I need to explain what a slip is and not to have such fear of explaining or being honest with a sponsor about a fear of a slip. And that was always something that I couldn't deal with too well in the beginning, because how am I going to tell her? She's going to drop me, or I'm embarrassed, or how can I tell her that I just ate this when I'm supposed to be so good and I'm not perfect? And oh well, it doesn't really matter, because all of us have been there. Some of us may have not had that many slips, but I am a compulsive eater, and I know that everyone I'm talking to in this program has had that problem in the past or is still struggling today. So, you know, I need to be honest with my sponsor because I need to be honest with myself. That took a long time, too, to understand that. But in order for me to grow and be able to continue being abstinent, I need to do that. I need to be honest. And so, you know, you can go through, work through. When I'm honest with my sponsor, when I explained that I was having, I was really struggling and not with the great front that I was putting up, she just helped me walk through it. She helped me through it. Had I held that back, I wouldn't have had that support. And so being honest is a very important part of the program for me today. And then also encourage sponsees to start sharing. That was very hard when I first came in. I was in for a couple months and would not share. I was petrified. I was going to live meetings in Manhattan, and I didn't know anybody, and I was not going to tell you anything about my life, and I wasn't going to share. And so that went on for a few months until my sponsor told me, kind fashion, you know, compassionately, you will have to get up and share because I will have to let you go. This program will only work if you give it back. So I did that. I went to Manhattan. My next meeting, I got up and I shared, and I haven't stopped since then. So sharing is very important. It gets me to feel that I'm part of the program. I'm giving back that which I receive every day. And so what we need to encourage, I need to encourage my sponsors as soon as they can. They may not be ready in 7 days. They may need a little more time, but we do need to give back. And I'm going to stop right there because I can go on and on. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, would you like to share?
Hi, yeah, Susan, compulsive eater. I want to encourage people to use the CEAHOW.org website. There are amazing resources there, and one of them is the sponsor-sponsee checklist on the CEAHOW.org website. There is a drop-down list for members. It says for members, and just want to make sure I call it the right thing. Resources for sponsors is what you click on, and then new sponsee checklist, sponsor checklist. I'm pretty sure they're the exact same things. And then you can actually download it. There's a place about halfway down the page, maybe a third of the way down the page, that you can click on saying sponsor checklist, and you can actually print that out, the sponsor checklist is for sponsees. And that really just lays out, we want our sponsees to get the Forever Abstinent booklet. And to do that, if you're at a face-to-face meeting, you go to the literature table with your new sponsee and say, you know, this is someone who I'm sponsoring and needs the Forever Abstinent booklet. I'm on the phone bridge, and so I will email the literature person saying, this is the person, I'm sponsoring her, please do sell her a Forever Absent book. Then she has to email the literature person and make that transaction. Make sure they have a food scale. I encourage a digital scale, but a postal scale is absolutely acceptable in CHOW. Measuring cups and measuring spoons, AA's Big Book and AA's 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, a bathroom scale for when you're in the early days of your abstinence, weighing once a month, and then once we're on maintenance, it'll be once a week. Getting the meeting list. So that's where meetings are in your area. And for me, again, on PhoneBridge, there's a drop-down list called Meetings. So you can find a meeting if it's a face-to-face meeting you're looking for me, it's the PhoneBridge meeting list, and amazing number of meetings on the PhoneBridge when you don't have the option of a face-to-face meeting. And then the phone list. And so each meeting puts out a phone list, and with the PhoneBridge, there's phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com. And then having a notebook or journal. So that's that's the what to get list for a new sponsee, someone who's new to the program. And then as Cheryl went down the list, talk about the seven tools of CEA-HOW, and each one is essential. And I am working with a brand new sponsee, someone who has never been in 12-step recovery, never thought about food recovery with the 12-step overlay, and is ready. And I'm being cautious about throwing too much at her. My past experience, my past behavior has been one to kind of put down the, this is how we do it, and this is how you have to do it, and, this is what works, and too much too soon is going to really affect somebody's ability to do it, is what I'm learning, what I'm believing. And so I give her the food plan. I give her the basics of the food plan. She has ordered the Forever Absent book. She's not in a place where she can buy it. And when she ends up doing something that I didn't cover, if it's, not about eating flour or sugar, but something about how she prepared something, weighed something, and it was my error in not including that, I just, say, oh, okay, didn't go over that one. Okay, please, in the future. And that sort of gentle guiding and encouraging is something that I feel is really important to foster within myself, so that I can foster recovery for this new person. And this is very present in my practice right now. I'm trying to think of what else I'm going over with her very carefully. It's not coming to me. So I will stop there. Thank you all.
Thank you, Susan. Okay, this is Suzanne. I'm a grateful...
My name is Jelly. I'm a compulsive eater. I'd like to share when you get a chance.
Okay, in a minute, Shelly. Okay, I'm Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. And wanted to touch on a couple of things. I have a sponsee that's sponsoring someone, and they had a question about the food, and my sponsee just said, read the food plan. Well, that's all well and good, but my experience has been we go over it with the sponsee. Not only is it helpful for the sponsee, it's helpful for the sponsor to just go over it. Since I'm blind, I have to, it has helped me greatly. That anytime anyone has a question, I'm like, let's get the Forever Absent booklet out and read it together, and then we can discuss it. So that's what I do. And you'd be surprised that maybe not quite as much anymore, but I used to get a lot of calls from people who had been in program a while and never had the Forever Absent booklet because their sponsor never had the Forever Absent booklet. For us, we need the big book, as Cheryl touched upon, the 12 and 12, and we need for our program the Forever Abstinent booklet. We really, really do. I'd also like to mention that it is now available electronically for your electronic device. And that's at store.cahow.org. That's store, S-T-O-R-E dot cahow.org. And, you know, it's one download per device that you put on your phone or your tablet or your whatever it is. And that is really good to have. And it's easy to get that way.
Can you say that email address or that website, store dot?
Yes, store. It's S as in Sally, T as in Tom, O, R as in Robert, E as in Edward, dot C-E-A-H-O-W dot O-R-G.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And there you can
Suzanne,
get the...
Suzanne, is that accessible through the CHOW website, too? Is there, does it say store you can hook
up to? Yeah, but I think
website?
You have to, it's easier to go to store because it's more direct.
Right, right. Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And available electronically, the Forever Abstinent Booklet, the Sponsor Guidelines, Questions, Steps 6 through 12, the Tradition Questions, which are important. Well, they're all important, and the Maintenance Questions. And later, more things will be available. So the other thing is, yep, Cheryl touched upon boundaries. Sometimes our sponsees, I'm sure I've put my sponsor through the ringer a couple of times, and, you know, I like to say, when in doubt, zip the mouth. No yelling at the sponsee, no berating them, because we don't want to do that to ourselves. We must treat our sponsees the way we'd like to be treated. Even though maybe in the past we haven't been treated so nicely by other people, you know, we need to treat our sponsees the way we'd like to be treated. So no yelling and berating and shaming. That's really not 12-step at all. And the other thing I'd like to share is if you're sponsoring someone and something comes up and you really don't know, go to your sponsor first before giving a suggestion that is may not be correct. I'm hesitating if I should give the example. I'm just going to go ahead and give it. If someone's in the hospital and they're unconscious and they are given something that's not in our program, that is not a slip. That's out of their control. And, you know, maybe out of ignorance, someone would say that's a slip, but it's like, well, maybe I need to check with my sponsor to make sure that's not a slip. We can go into that a little bit more, but we do need to take responsibility. A lot of people, I've been through a lot of hospitalizations abstinent because I planned ahead. I spoke to my doctor, I spoke to the dietitian, and it usually nowadays it's a lot easier than before because before it was harder, but nowadays it's a lot easier planning ahead. There's no excuse not to be abstinent. However, sometimes there are things out of my control. And if it's out of my control, if I'm unconscious and, you know, taken to the hospital and I'm given glucose in my vein, that's not a slip. And we have to use common sense. I have a very good friend in program that keeps telling me, it's common sense, people. So common sense and maybe taking that pause before we blurt out, you slipped. Taking that pause and looking into it further. Anyway, we could go on and on about this, and it's a good conversation. Okay, I think Shelley wanted to share.
My name is Shelley. I'm a compulsive eater. Thanks, Suzanne, for doing this workshop and everyone for being here. And what I want to emphasize, and I emphasize with sponsees, is that we don't work a perfect program. But working the seven tools, all of them are required, not suggested. And if I don't work all the seven tools, I have to work all the seven tools. It doesn't mean I'm perfect if I work all the seven tools. It means I'm working a program of recovery. I only have to work the number five tool, the meetings, three times a week. But I have to work all the other ones every day. Four calls, one to my sponsor and three to other CHOW members, weighing and measuring all my food. I emphasize we abstain from not only flour and sugar, but quantity. People will say, what about something like mung bean flour or something else? And I said, it's flour, sugar, and quantity. I said, any kind of flour, it's like an alcoholic can have an ear of corn, but they can't have corn whiskey. It's like 10 ears of corn in one glass with all the grain and all the sugar. Goes down real nicely. You know, we're the same way. We cannot take that concentrated amount of whatever it is in a flour form or sugar form, you know, and tolerate it. It just operates against us. I have to ask my sponsees, are you really ready to give this up? Because this program, once you agree you're a compulsive eater, the concept says the seven tools are required, not suggested. Again, it doesn't mean I'm working a perfect program if I work all seven tools. It means I'm working the program. It's like driving a car for me, you know. Do I drive a car perfectly? Absolutely not. I've had accidents. I've had tickets. I mean, you name it, I've had it. And thank God I lived through it all, and everybody else did too. But if I don't have the key, if I don't know how to operate the vehicle, if I don't know the laws of the land, if I don't know how to get where I'm going, you know, and several other things you have to do in driving, I'm not going to work. It's not going to work. Do I drive a car perfectly?
1 minute.
No. Thank you. But I do everything that is expected of me to drive a car so that I can operate the vehicle. That's how I look at the seven tools. They're like my automobile. You know, they're the vehicle through the program, through abstinence. And I really appreciate everyone being here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. And I should have mentioned that. Yes. Go ahead.
Data.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, mine is kind of a story and a question because a few months ago I heard someone in the forum group who had been my sponsor, and this is going to what I've heard about safe boundaries and also the treatment of sponsees, you know, treating your sponsee the way you want to be treated, no yelling, no shaming. I spoke up because I heard I needed to say that I had been harassed by a sponsor about 2 years ago. And I spoke up, and I was brave because I heard that person's voice on the line. And I didn't say the person's name, but I said, this happened to me. That same day, I received a call from someone who very scarily told me that she had been new in the program and she had given her fourth step to her sponsor, and the sponsor used that information to shame her. And the sponsor told her, this person told me, that her sponsor told her, have you had sex in the last 21 days? And you know, I have had sex with a man, a woman, a dog, and a baby. I know that what I did was spiritual murder. This person felt abused by her sponsor, and she didn't want to come back to program. She was shaky. She was afraid. She said she could hear her sponsor share on the phone bridge every early morning, and she didn't want to go back. But she did. She knew she needed the program, so she stayed with her live face-to-face meetings and eventually could find a sponsor that was a face-to-face sponsor because she didn't feel safe on the phone bridge. I spoke to several people, and some of them told me that was between the sponsor and the sponsee, and I felt there must be a way that someone who's been harassed like that has the forum to speak and say, this is abuse. This is not just between the sponsor and the sponsee. This shouldn't happen in CEHO. And then I went to someone above our hierarchy, and she invited me to speak here and address it as I think should be publicly, because it's not enough to say, oh, we're sick people helping sick people. I am very sorry. Shaming and abusing a sponsee is not correct, and it should be welcome. It shouldn't be welcome in our fellowship. It shouldn't be allowed. So how does a sponsee that has been abused in this very blatant way can go and can see how to say, this person did this to me, and she's putting her number out there for other sponsees, so we don't even know if this is happening to other people. I would like to have an answer for this, because I don't know what a person with this situation should do, and we should give them a way to address this and feel safe in their recovery. So thank you for letting me share, and I will expect an answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Shaisha. Cheryl, would you like to tackle this first?
I'll try. Not easy.
No.
I hear you, Shaisha. I hear you. I'm familiar with it, spoken to you in the past. And like we say, we do not govern. There's no one on top that can, you know, say, well, okay, you just send it to me and I'll take care of it. We don't do this here. We are all, we take care of each other and take care of myself. There's no one that can step in and say, well, this is how, you shouldn't have done this, you should have done that, you can't do this, can't do that. I know what I want to say, but it's not coming quite clearly. But the way to get this information out is just what you just did. You just put it out there. We cannot add names, of course. Anonymity is very important to me, and in general it is. But it's very important that maybe this is something I probably should tell new sponsors as well, when they start sponsoring. When you start sponsoring, I like to do it exactly by the book. What it says here, how it tells me to sponsor, that's how I sponsor. When I start putting my own stuff in, when I start deciding, well, hey, you know, we can eat out. You see how it allows us to eat out, but I do not eat out, so therefore I don't want my sponsees eating out. Like, wow, why? And so what happens is that maybe that sponsee will not eat out or will eat out. Maybe she might leave program because she thinks C-How does not let us eat out without a scale. We don't know what happens, and this sponsee has no way of knowing that it's just this one sponsor that's sponsoring that way. But we're not allowed to do that. I feel that I need to not water this program down. I need to give it over someone else, just as it was given to me, and by the book, by the rule, not add my own interpretation to it. When I hear the four-step inventory, when people have given it to me in the past, I just listen. I do nothing but listen. When you're done with what you had for that day, I say thank you, and we go on. I have no right to interrupt or to comment on anyone's four-step inventory. They're laying out their life, their most secrets, and I have no right to intrude on that. Never. So there are some sponsors that will help you out maybe a little and you know, give you their own background and help you go, but I don't think that's right. I think if you're doing your four-step inventory, do it the best of your ability. Be honest. Don't be worried that I'll judge. I will not judge, and I will not comment. Having said that, I'm just realizing now that I don't ever think I did that when I help someone start sponsoring, and we probably did, but it's not in my list of things to tell us. I think I should put that there. I think it's very important that we recognize that we are all little sick coconuts, like someone used to say in a meeting, that we all have I have my own problems. I listen to that person. That's another thing, the anonymity. I have some, right now, someone give me her inventory, and every time she says, you know, each day it's like, I'm so embarrassed to tell you this. I'm so embarrassed, because I do know her. At a live meeting. And so, you know, this is what I say, and this is how I actually feel. When you told me your four-step inventory, when you spoke to me that day, you told me what it is, wherever it is that you're in the four-step inventory, it may be so outrageous that my heart sinks and I start getting nervous. But as soon as I hang up the phone, it's gone. I have enough. I have my own problems. I have enough junk in my head, or enough stuff that's happening to me in my head, or my past. I do not want anyone else's there for the rest of my day. So I train myself. So when I hang up and someone's giving me their inventory, it's theirs. It's not mine. And we move on. I have no right to interfere. I don't know if I've covered that accurately.
To whom they should go, if someone feels harassed like that and they're new, to whom they should go and say, this happened, please help?
Jayesha, I think this is why we have the forum, so that people can hear this. Look, this has happened to me and the other way around. I've had sponsees yell at me, well, especially one, and also accuse me. You're blind. You should be able to answer the phone 24 hours a day for me. That's abuse, too. It is, if the person is yelling at you, and if you're new, listen to this. If the person is yelling at you and abusing you and humiliating you, say, thank you, I'm getting another sponsor. You move on. I've had people come to me about someone who may not have been available all the time, most of the time, but they were available for someone new, I say, that's not the sponsor for you. Get another sponsor. If they're not available, if they're yelling at you, move on. And this is the place to talk about it. This is and so if you're new or returning, if the person is doing that, say thank you, you get another sponsor. Because we, as Cheryl said, we do not govern. There is no governing body that's like, this person can't sponsor anymore. Because one person I'm thinking of is actually a wonderful sponsor to someone else, but was not a good sponsor or a good fit for many people. So I think talking about it here is it's education. Susan, did you want to share on this?
This is Susan from New York. I'd like to share when you have a chance.
I'd like to share after her.
And I'd like to share, too. This is Ginger, if that's the right format.
I think we're going to be running out of time. Susan from Oakland, did you want to share, or should we let Susan from New York share first?
If there is a little bit of time, I'll see if what I have in mind hasn't been covered. I'm happy to cede the time to others.
Okay. Susan from New York, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Susan, compulsive eater. This is a very important topic, and someone just this week had talked to me about sponsor abuse. So I know it's not just an isolated incident. One thing that I could suggest, two things. I know we have a sponsorship committee at World Service, and just coincidentally, they're meeting today. I just had gotten a phone call by mistake yesterday because they thought I was on the sponsorship committee, and I'm not. But it could be brought up in the sponsorship committee. Also, the Forever Abstinent book gets revised only once every 3 years. There's still some time to put a motion in, and it could be put in under either the sponsorship tools or another place in the Forever Abstinent book, a couple of sentences about advice or suggestions for newcomers. The Forever Abstinent book is just about the first thing that newcomers get. They don't get the sponsor guidelines until after 30 days. That might be too late. So a motion could be crafted in the next couple of weeks to submit to the business conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Ginger, you're next, and then we'll have Susan from Oakland. Ginger, go ahead.
Shelley also spoke up, right?
Okay. Shelley was ahead of me.
Okay, Shelley, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks for having this conference. I hear the person sharing, and I have heard that throughout being in CHOW. I've been in Al-Anon for a long time, too. And there's even in Al-Anon, there's a group that runs their sponsees. I mean, really runs them, tells them when they can have babies, where they can work, what they can do. And there are people that adhere to that, and it's just amazing to me. But what I get to understand in working this program is that I get to start to understand my relationships. And you can always hang up the phone. You can tell them, thank you for sponsoring me. I'm going to find someone else. You know, we have to stand up for ourselves because there is no ultimate authority except God, our higher power. And it's very hard to take that abuse. It's extremely hard. Intimidation is never comfortable, because it brings up conflict and confrontation, and that's hard for people like us, especially, I think, at least for me, I'll speak for me. So you always have the power to protect yourself. Hang up. You know, tell them, thank you for sponsoring me. I'm getting another sponsor, or I'm feeling intimidated or abused. I will not be calling you again, you know, and we get to learn how to take care of ourselves one more time in this program. So I really appreciate the person sharing about this issue. I know it's very hurtful, and I hope you do never leave the program because of this person. You know, there's no person more important than ourselves in working this program. And there are sponsors out there that do different things. We sponsor according to different guidelines. But if you don't like what they say or what they ask you to do, you have the perfect right to ask them, to thank them and leave, and not have a relationship with them, sponsor, or in the program at all. But, you know, we just have to work these things out. This program teaches me how to live life. Thank you. physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It's like I told my son one time when he didn't want to go to school in high school, I said, remember, you're not only getting an academic education, I said, you're getting a physical education, a mental education, a political education, a social education. You're learning how to live in life. I said, if you don't like that teacher, well, what are you going to do when you have a boss that you don't like? You're getting practice right now on how to do that. And this program forces me to practice living life rather than isolating and eating food or isolating and berating myself. I'm a real good self-berater and self-punisher. And I hope all of you love each other, love yourselves, and, you know, don't let anyone of us intimidate each other. It's not right. It's not loving, kind, or tolerant. And that's what we're taught here. So I love you all. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Shelley. Go ahead, Ginger.
Okay, and I just wanted to reiterate or piggyback on the Forever Abstinent book. And I know that there's still time to put in motions. But also, one of the things we can do, I believe, in protecting ourselves is when we are, people ask us, you know, can you recommend a sponsor? If you know that someone has problems, don't recommend them. I mean, don't not recommend them, but, you know, guide them to someone else. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ginger. Okay, Susan from Oakland.
Hi. In recovery, we are learning how to develop healthy boundaries for ourselves. And this is a terrible byproduct of not this particular issue can be a terrible byproduct of not having a governing body. We may find that a newcomer just decides with some part of reason that, you know, this is what the program's like and I'll have none of it, and they lose at least their initial entry into recovery, into that personal journey. And all I can say is this is a process, and my sincere hope is that whoever experiences this sort of behavior from a sponsor can find some healing to stick with their recovery. And that's all I can say. I mean, this is an imperfect program for imperfect people, and we are all volunteers, and we are all at different places in our spiritual growth, our spiritual and emotional growth, and this will happen. I don't think we can prevent it. But I just want to add that with the Forever Abstinent book open for editing and changes, this might be the perfect way to at least take a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'd like to remind everybody the Area 10 Assembly is February 17th. There's time to submit a motion through Area 10. And if not through Area 10, directly to the business conference. And there are plenty of people who, there's a template to do that. And there are some of us that can help out with that. Anyone else would like to share on this topic? Or ask?
Yes, Paul from New York.
Paul, and then who's the other person?
Cheryl, I'll go after Paul.
Okay, go ahead, Paul.
A couple things that bring to light. I've heard the word slip quite a bit. At many of our, committee meetings, we have worked towards changing that to when our sponsor has had their abstinence compromised. Just a gentle reminder that things like that take a long time to turn around. But one of the things that we do, and I do, is try my very best, especially with new sponsees, is to keep it as positive as possible, and that wasn't always the case. And it was shared prior to me that basically it is trial and error. I worked my program as best I could with the original sponsor that I had for the first 30 days. They were not always you know, tolerant. They were not always kind in the early mornings, as most people are just, you know, getting their lives together. So I learned from other people that sponsor. I took on as sponsors afterwards, and so my program has become gentler, you know, in the sense of working with somebody that's new. But at some point, I think also, you know, with a sponsor that may have an abusive or, you know, somebody that they're working with that is very difficult, is that when it starts to affect your own recovery. And I think that's also what happens with somebody that's new. You know, if it is affecting their recovery, they got to move on right away. And lastly, I had an issue come up with my sponsor. I was not particularly happy that others came forward and sent my sponsor a letter regarding my behavior on this phone bridge. We do have certain, you know, things that stop
1 minute,
you know, behavior from happening, and it has affected me greatly with this program and also my relationship with my sponsor. So traditions are there. Traditions do help as well. Thanks for letting me share, Paul from New York.
Thank you, Paul. Cheryl, go ahead.
Two things real quickly. The first thing is that when I pick up a call from a sponsee, my demeanor changes. My family would smile. You know, I'd be in a, whatever situation was happening at the time, maybe a little too loud, and then I get the call from the sponsee, and I'm a different person. You know, I'm sponsor mode, and you know, I'm kind, listening, compassionate, and being there for that person, no matter what was really going on in my life at that moment, I step away from it. So it's very important for me not to bring that which is happening around me into my conversation with a sponsee. You know, they have their time and they're important, very important. The other thing was that the other way around, I had a situation where a sponsee was her phone call was something I dreaded, because it was very heavy stuff. It was always about, she had real heavy emotional and mental problems, and I was dealing with it for quite a long while until it became to where my recovery was threatened, my sanity was threatened, and I didn't want to let go because I knew if I do that, it's going to be harmful, maybe emotionally for her, not only regarding program. And so I worked through this with my sponsor. We figured out a way. I met her at a live meeting, pulled her aside, and I told her I had someone for her. I had set her up with someone in California and that I knew would take care of her really well. But sure, there were tears and all that stuff. You know, you can't do this to me. And today she's really happy with her. They have a good relationship, and life goes on for her in program. So I need to be careful, too. I need to take care of myself and step away. When I feel that I can't sponsor that person, just step away and make sure that they have someone else before I let them go. It doesn't happen too often. It happened once in years, but it can happen. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'm just going to look at the time real quickly.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Compulsive Eater.
We're
coming in late.
We're at
this
time.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think this is going to be a topic for another sponsorship forum. I just quickly add that in another program, I had a sponsor who was very, very loving, but also very controlling and very bossy, and I learned from her what to do and what not to do. And we can learn. This is a learning thing for everybody, a learning process, what to do and what not to do. So just a friendly reminder. I'm sure we will visit this topic again. When is our next sponsorship forum, Susan?
Let's see. I walked away from my paper. Did we say
the
17th? Yes,
17th.
The 17th.
Yes.
Okay, our next sponsorship forum is February 17th. Same time, same dialing number, same access code. I'd like to thank everybody. We will leave our numbers after the recording has stopped. And if there are any available sponsors, please stay on the line and announce yourself once we've finished the forum. Thank you, everybody, for being here and for sharing and asking. And let's join in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the
things
I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And
the wisdom
to
know the difference.
Thy will
and thy mind be done.
Amen.